How many of you this week had one of those instances where you said, why did I do that? Why did I just do that? Who didn't? All right? That is part of the human condition. All of us do things that are silly, that are foolish, that we look back and say, wonder why? I mean, everybody's had the experience of driving off from a gas pump with the hose still stuck in your car, right? Everybody does that, don't they? No? No? Oh. Well, how about going off with your, you know, the lid to your fuel thing open, and, or the nozzle or the closer sitting on the gas pump or something like that, you know? Everybody has taken a dumb dare at some point in time, sticking your nose to, or your tongue to a frosty pipe, or you see a sign that says wet paint and you just have to try it, or it's hot. Well, how hot? I got to find out. Yeah, it's just kind of the human condition. But there is a vast difference between doing foolish things on occasion and being what the Bible defines as a fool. The one your mama warned you about. It is not a complimentary thing, but in Proverbs, Solomon paints a pretty vivid portrait, and he does so frequently. I counted up something like 100 different times in Proverbs, something about the fool, about foolishness, about folly. Lots and lots and lots of times in the book of Proverbs, he refers to this, and sometimes very colorfully, he paints this picture and warns us not to be one. And that's the good thing about it. Even if you see yourself, and what we're going to be talking about this morning, and you will, if you're honest, you will, at least I did, it's not a terminal condition. It can be changed. It can be corrected. That's the good news. But some of it seems kind of harsh, but the reason is, as Solomon warns his son, he said, this, you've got to be so careful because this is a dangerous way to be. You can put yourself in grave danger. Now, I've referred to this before, but remember that when the Bible talks about a fool, it is usually not talking about someone that has any kind of a mental deficiency, but it's someone that by choice consciously is developing a moral or and spiritual deficiency in their life. It's that person that, as the psalmist said in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Or maybe more accurately, the fool has said in his heart, no God, no. And this is the kind of thing that we're being warned about, this moral and spiritual deficiency. And so today we're going to be looking at this picture that we see in the book of Proverbs regarding a fool. We're going to see God's counsel regarding it, and then his prescription, how to get beyond this kind of a thing. I want to pray, and then we'll get into the word here. Lord, I pray that you would just direct our thoughts. And again, don't want this to be harsh, demeaning in any way, but you've spoken so much about this. And it's clear that the one that you describe here is lacking in their relationship with you. And it's something that you want that to change. You want us to walk in fellowship with you. And so I pray that you direct our thoughts and just guide us as we go through this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this will be a morning when I'm going to ask you to continue to flip through the book of Proverbs. Again, with so many references, we're just going to look at a number of different ones and the things they have to say. We'll start in chapter 1 and verse 7. And the first thing that we see about a fool in the book of Proverbs is that they have a lack of respect for God. A lack of respect for God. Chapter 1, verse 7, we've seen this verse several times already. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this is kind of in general, but it's specifically referring to God's wisdom and instruction. And the fool has said, it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what God has said. They look on it as insignificant. There's a lack of respect for God. The wisdom comes, the fear of the Lord begins that knowledge, begins that wisdom. But the fool despises that, doesn't care what God has said, doesn't want to hear it. Again, indicates to them, it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't matter to me. I don't believe it. Next, we see that there is a lack of conscience in one that's described as a fool. Chapter 10 is where we will go next. Chapter 10 and verse 23. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. It's like a joke. You know, the unfortunate saturation that we have, I think it's unfortunate, the media everywhere, just saturated with media, but we get to see this lived out just all of the time. We have had opportunity of late to be taken into courtrooms where people have been convicted of heinous crimes. And as they're being sentenced, just smiling and laughing and mocking, making fun of the people that they've hurt. A fool lacks conscience. It doesn't affect them. They think only of themselves and how things apply to them or how their life can be better, and not at all how their actions are going to hurt someone else. It's like a joke. But again, the contrast that we always see in these verses, wisdom is a pleasure to a man of understanding. There's a lack of conscience. Solomon describes the fool as being one who is reckless. Chapter 14. In verse 16, the one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Now, this could be pretty subjective. We talked about this somewhat a few weeks ago, several of these things. We were talking about how to pick our friends carefully, how to be a good friend. And I mentioned, you know, I have a resistance to carnival rides. I don't like them, Ferris wheels or roller coasters. I don't like them. I won't do them. And, you know, I told you then my kids would try to make fun of me and say I was a coward and all that kind of stuff. Now, having a ranch and rodeo background, give me something that has hair on it and I'll ride it. But stay away from those amusement park rides. But there's a recklessness, a carelessness, he says, where cost is never considered, risk is never considered. And I personally think that the thrill seeking has gotten a little bit out of hand. I see videos all the time, people jumping off high cliffs into the water. I think this is not smart. I saw some videos the other day of 10, 15 story buildings, people running and jumping across the gap in between buildings and trying to land on a ledge like that. And I'm thinking, good grief, that's a little bit beyond. But again, this can be kind of subjective, but there's a recklessness, a carelessness. And you want to avoid that. You don't want to get into a vehicle with somebody that's going to be drinking and driving. As far as that goes, texting, oops. Did I say that out loud? And driving. Or you see it. You see it in people's lives. Just a carelessness. No consideration for risk involved. And he says that's a characteristic as well. He also points out that there's recklessness in speech, a careless way of talking. Chapter 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. And just this carelessness, this inability to control, no filter. It might be one, well, the verse prior, he was saying, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It might be that, where people that just pick all the time, just agitate all the time, always trying to start something, always trying to be controversial. It might be that, where they just don't know when to quit. A joke is a joke, but it can only go so far. The angry stuff that can come out. Just lots of different ways he's describing a person can be careless with their speech. Maybe it's filthiness, or the profane language, the language filled with sexual innuendos, or that kind of joking, that kind of a thing. Just a recklessness and a carelessness with speech. He warns about that. He warns about irresponsibility. Chapter 21, verse 20, says, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man just devours it. So we're talking about the wisdom on one hand, understanding that things are temporary, things are transient. Later in Proverbs, he'll talk about riches fly away like a bird. And so understands that things are going to wear out, and so you've got to pre-plan. Things are going to break down. Things are going to get ruined, and so you pre-plan. But he's saying the foolish one just devours it. Now, there's an old saying talking about people who can't let two coins rub against each other in their pocket. If it's there, you got to spend it. Well, the wise way to approach life, you know your tires on your vehicle are not going to last forever. So you pre-plan. You know that your appliances can't last forever, so you pre-plan. You know your vehicles can't last forever. You pre-plan. But the foolish person does not think ahead, does not, just can't pre-plan. Now, I'm going to give an example, and I hope you don't think I'm harsh or demeaning when I say this, but I've been doing this for a long time, and I can chart to the day when requests for financial assistance are going to come to churches. And we just came past some of those times. When there's fireworks for sale, when there's carnivals in town. You can predict it. Every year it's that way. And people will spend money on things they can't afford, and then they don't have money to buy groceries or pay rent or those kinds of things. Now, I'm not saying that to be mean. This is just the reality of what we're talking about. You've got to be able to think ahead. He says the foolish person doesn't do that. There's an unreliability that he associates with being a fool. In chapter 26 and verse 6, says, whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. And so the things that we've already seen, there's a self-centeredness in this one that has the moral and spiritual deficiency, the hole in their soul, so to speak. The thinking only of themselves. And so there's this unreliability. He says, if there's a person like this, you cannot trust them with responsibility. If you're doing it, it's like cutting off your own feet. The message will not get there. Just an unreliability. And then we see unteachable as being one of those characteristics as well. The fool is unteachable. Now you're going to love this. Chapter 26, verse 11. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. That's colorful, isn't it? Now, I don't want to be like the guy somebody told me once. They were in a meeting where a guy preached on this verse, and by the time he was done, you could smell it in the room, you know. I don't want to be that way, but why do they do that? I don't know why dogs do that, but they do, and cats, they come back and they'll eat their herb. And he's saying that's the way it is with a fool coming back time and time and time and time again to their mistakes. They will not learn. There's pride, there's arrogance, there's stubbornness, whatever it is, those mistakes just keep getting repeated. We've paraphrased this proverb to some degree in the saying that the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over and over again and expecting different results. The fool will not learn. It's not that he cannot learn, but he will not learn. He keeps repeating his mistakes. And then the final one that we'll mention here is just a lack of self-control. And in chapter 29... This kind of thing, again, is repeated often in the book of Proverbs, but in chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. The first thing that would come to mind is our anger. That would probably be the first thing, and that's certainly there. But it doesn't have to be just anger. It's just that lack of restraint, that lack of, again, it may not, maybe not knowing when to stop with a joke. You know, just, there's a joke is funny up to a certain point. I saw a video recently where a guy was asleep on a couch, and somebody came up to him with an air horn right in his ear, blast the air horn, and he just woke up and came up and popped him, just knocked him flat. And well, kind of were asking for that one. It might be the lack of filter. It might be just the lack of, just stop talking already. You know, that kind of a thing. He gives full vent to his spirit. Just everything comes out. This is one of the things I have to remind myself often. You don't have to say everything you think. You just don't have to. And so this lack of self-control, and you see it in a lot of different areas. So this is some of the description here. Now again, with 100 different references, this is just a sampling, but it's a fairly complete picture. And all of us will see ourselves in that to some degree. Now, what does God say to do about it? When we're confronted with someone who meets these descriptions, when this portrait is being played out around you, well, there's several things that he suggests. The first is avoid. when you can avoid. Oh, he says in chapter 14 and verse 7, leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Now, you can't always do that. You can't help who you work with. You can't help it in some situations of life. But again, it's a warning. Who are you going to bring into your inner circle? Who are you going to allow to influence you? You don't want someone who has that view of God, that lack of conscience, that unteachability. You don't want someone like that being an influence in your life. And so choose carefully. When you can, avoid, it says. Leave the presence of a fool. He also suggests to divert influence when possible. Don't give them the opportunity to influence. In chapter 26, verse 1 says, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Just making these observations. Now, for us here, if it snowed tonight, we would say that is really, really weird. That doesn't happen. It's not supposed to happen in Nebraska. And in our country, we'll take rain whenever we can get it. But if you're in agriculture and you got hay down, or if you're trying to get the crops in, you're saying, boy, I just wish it wouldn't have come quite yet. So he's saying, so honor is not fitting for a fool. A place of influence, a place of leadership is not fitting for someone who has these moral and spiritual deficiencies. If you drop down to verse 8, same chapter, like one who binds the stone in a sling is one who gives honor to a fool. So they would use a sling for hunting, for protection. It wasn't the slingshots like we used to see, but a piece of leather or a piece of material, a pouch with a couple of straps on it, go round, 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 round like this to get some momentum, release one of the straps, and hopefully the stone goes where it's supposed to be. So you don't glue that stone in the pouch. You don't bind it in some way so that it can't be released. That's the whole point of it. You want it to be released. So he said, just like that is honor to a fool. Divert influence when possible. Now, I want to be careful here because there's a respect that is due, but I shake my head sometimes and I say, how did we come to this place in our country's history? And some of the people in Washington should not be there. I mean, they meet every one of the qualifications for a fool that we've looked at. How did it come to this? I come to some elections and say, how is it that this is all we have to choose from? And it's not for us to ever give up, but we have got to work at putting people who belong in places of influence. It's up to us to devote ourselves to try to get good people who are deserving of the position. So many aren't. And this is in every level of society. It's true in the church. You might sound arrogant too, but there's a guy I see sometimes on social media. I've never seen a whole sermon, but everything that I've seen, he's up there shouting and spitting and criticizing people and tearing people down and just negative all the time. And that guy does not belong there. He doesn't deserve that place. And so his admonition here is divert influence whenever you can. Don't put a fool into a place of influence. And then respond appropriately. And it's kind of interesting the way this is worded, but in chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, It says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you become like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So this is not a contradiction. These complement each other. There's just an appropriate response. And I think only the Holy Spirit can really tell us when is the right time. But there's a time to answer, and there's a time to ignore. And that's the bottom line. Some conversations are not going to go anywhere. And you can know that early on. So don't persist. And whatever you do, he's saying, don't lower yourself to that level. Don't become demeaning or sarcastic or rude in those conversations. And this is, you know, I'm not a highly intelligent person, but I've been pretty quick-witted throughout my life. And sarcasm has always been a tool in my work belt, you know. So those answers come quick. And he's saying, don't do that. There's a right and a wrong way to respond, if you're going to respond at all. There are times I engage in a theological discussion with people, you know, via social media. And it comes to a point when you say, this is ridiculous. Why are you doing this? And I'll say that. Listen, we're wasting each other's time here, so let's just stop. But then there's other times when you have got to step in. You have got to intervene. And I think one of the things that might be a criteria for this, it depends who's listening in. If I've been through, and it happens quite often, I've been through the same discussion with somebody multiple times, and I know exactly where it's going to go, I might just listen and not respond and just move on as soon as possible. But if there's someone else involved in the conversation that's younger in their walk with the Lord, a little less mature, if my grandkids are there listening to a conversation, somebody says something perverse or something that is wrong, I'm going to call them out. So it might help us determine here when to respond, when to ignore, depending on who else is involved in the conversation. But this is what God says to do in regards to someone that is classified here, meets these criteria of being a fool. Now, I also want us to see his prescription. Like I said before, being a fool is not a terminal condition. It doesn't have to be. There's always a way for us to get beyond that. And so all the verses here we've looked at multiple times already, so I'm just going to take you through this. It begins with a right relationship with God. We looked at chapter 1, verse 7 already today, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Later on, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts, having that relationship with him. There's going to be a darkness in our soul. There's going to be that hole. There's going to be that deficiency until we come into a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so for us, it's coming to the place of acknowledging what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the starting point. We will never move out of this godlessness until we come into a right relationship with him. And then it works into an intimate relationship with him, an intimate walk with God. We spent all of last week on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And so it becomes this daily walk, this moment-by-moment walk, where I'm checking in with Him, when I'm consulting Him, when I'm devoting myself to where He's shown me His will. When I'm saying to Him, Lord, what do You think here? What do You want me to do? And that intimate walk with Him helps us move away from these things that He describes as being the walk of a fool. And then there's honest accountability. With Him first, but also allowing other people into our lives who will help us see our blind spots, who will speak truth to us. And we saw this verse a few weeks ago as well, chapter 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Someone who loves us enough to be honest with us enough to say, you know what, that wasn't very smart. That was kind of foolish. Let's work on correcting that. So honest accountability. These are things that God describes in order to get us beyond this thing of being a fool. Now again, we've probably all seen ourselves somewhat in this portrait of a fool. I can't imagine that anyone has not seen something there. But the thing is, what are we going to do about it? If an area has been exposed in us, what are we going to do about it? To see a deficiency and move to correct it is wisdom. And we see God's blessing. But to see something exposed and fail to deal with it is more foolishness. And we're just asking for trouble. The choice is ours. Let's pray. Our Father, again, there's things sometimes exposed that sting a bit. But that's a good thing, because it means we're listening to what You have said. Help us to walk in the way of wisdom, so that we can be a good example to people all around us who need a relationship with You. And I pray that You would just direct our steps. I don't know what You might want to do out of a talk about fools, but use Your word however You want to use it today to make us more like Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.